Let me say this morning that how much I appreciate being here this morning, but how much I've appreciated being here since Friday night. And my wife sends her apologies this morning. She's not doing well, and going to have to take some steps medically to hopefully get her back on the right track. But I hope that you'll pray for her, and she asks that you do so. I've appreciated being here again. I love you, and I'm thankful for you. It's always, as I have said in services that preceded this, how much I appreciated the faithfulness of Brother Virgil, and it's always a pleasure for me to fill the services with my good friend Brother Josh Mason and many others across the country. And I just pray this morning for you and pray for the others that God would bless them in a way that only He can, and direct your minds and our minds that, as Paul said to the Corinthian church, that we might all speak the same thing. And that would be a great blessing for us here today. If you have your Bibles this morning, I would call your attention to the third chapter of the book of Titus. Titus chapter 3. And when you read Titus chapter 3, it's necessary that you go back and read Titus chapter 2. For the simple reason, Titus chapter 2 sets the stage for what Titus chapter 3, which is the last chapter of his epistle, has to say, promote, and to teach. Now, he said in chapter 2 in verse 1, "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine." Now, the word sound here means stable. That which is not, for lack of a better term, not rotten. If a beam across a building is sound, then it is able to bear and hold up the load that it is designed to bear.
Sure.
And Paul doesn't elaborate on that there, but he does tell you the result of preaching and speaking the things that become sound doctrine. And he tells you that in verse 2, that the aged man be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity and patience. That the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness. And he goes on and describes that. That they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. Sound speech, he says in verse 8, that cannot be condemned. That he that is of the contrary, that is the other side, he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Exhort servants to be obedient to their own masters, to please them well in all things. Not answering again. You know what that means? You know, I've got some fellows that help me on the farm and things, and nothing gets under my skin anymore. When I tell them something to do, they say, "Why?" You know, I don't want them to ask me why I want it done. You know, that a good worker, a good servant, don't ask the man in charge why. His responsibility is to get it done the best he can with the materials that he has. And that's what he's saying here, that he says, exhort servants to be obedient to their own masters and to please them well in all things, not answering again. That's what that means. Not purloining, but showing all good and fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. I want you to notice what that says. The grace of God that bringeth salvation. That is, it comes from somewhere else.
Right.
It's not here, but the grace of God that does not offer salvation, that does not promote salvation, but the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Now there's all sorts of aspects that you can read into the terminology hath appeared unto all men here. I don't particularly believe that it means all men in general.
No.
But I do believe that the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men that God directed it to.
Yeah.
And that same grace that brings salvation also brings education. Read verse 12. It teaches, doesn't it?
Right.
Educates. It teaches us. Who's the us? That's the all men that is referred to in verse 11.
Right.
Teaching us that what? Denying ungodliness and worldly lust, and that's easy to preach and hard to do, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. Now you talk about right now doctrine, right there it is. In this present world,
right.
It brings salvation, it brings education, but it also brings expectation. Look at verse 13. Looking for that blessed hope, the expectation of the return and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. The great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, in this terminology right here, are implied and taught as one. You hear that? He who is glorious in his appearing is the great God and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
The same one. So that tells us that God has not divorced himself from his Son, and that the Son has not divorced himself from the Father, because they themselves not only are one, but they agree in one.
Amen.
One has done nothing without the agreement of the other and full cooperation. And then he explains it further. Who gave himself.
Right.
Who gave himself. For us. There's the word us again.
Yeah.
That he might redeem us. From all iniquity.
Right.
Not just part of it. I've done part of it. The rest of it's left up to you. The Lord's not. We hear it from the average pulpit today. The Lord's done his part. You do yours. Well, I got news for you, my friend. You don't have to do years. The Lord's already done it all.
That's it.
But as responsible children of God, and you remember this, lest I forget it today, inability does not destroy responsibility.
No.
My inability to pay a just and honest debt does not relieve me of the responsibility of paying that debt. Adam, even though he may have been unable to do what God commanded was yet responsible for what he did. God accounted him responsible. Now, Adam wasn't made a fit subject for heaven. He was made a perfect natural man. Adam was a perfect natural man. And that man, Adam, violated what God's principle was. God sent him out of the garden, and I tell you, God fixed it where he couldn't come back to where he was. But I want to tell you this. When Jesus died, he just didn't bring us back to where we were in Adam. We got more than that. Yes, sir. Adam wasn't redeemed. He had to be Listen, we got redemption. We got sanctification. We got everything that was in Christ imputed to us, and it was more than Adam had in the beginning.
Right. Amen.
Now, look and see what he says. Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us, buy us out from all iniquity, and purify. Purify, that is cleanse. Purify unto himself a peculiar people. You ever heard Mama used to say, well, I tell you, he's peculiar as they come.
Yeah.
You ever heard that?
Yeah.
She said about my daddy, he's peculiar as the day is long. She said about me, you twice as peculiar as your daddy was. All I'm saying to you is the word peculiar here doesn't mean strange. The word peculiar here means redeemed. That he might purify unto himself a redeemed people. They are peculiar because they redeemed.
Yeah.
You see, that's the text in the context. And also, to add to that, they were zealous.
Right.
Zealous of what? Good works.
Right.
Good works. I want to tell you, that's what grace does when it educates you.
Yes, it did.
Somebody said, if I believe like you did, I'd just go out and have my fill of sin. If you believe like I did, you'd already had your fill of sin. Sovereign grace doesn't give you a license to sin.
No.
Sovereign grace constrains you.
Right.
Sovereign grace constrains you. It teaches you. There's a change in the heart. There's something done to the heart. The inward man.
Yeah.
By the direct operation of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And let me emphasize here, the means of regeneration is not the gospel.
No.
It is not the programs of this world, but the means of regeneration is the agent of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Directly and without means other than himself.
Right.
All right? Who gave himself for our sins that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar or redeemed people, zealous of good works. Now, these things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. I want to tell you, my friend, the Bible says here, and Paul says to Titus, whom he left in Crete, he says, let no man despise thee. And he didn't say, talking to Titus, now don't you permit them to despise you. That's not what he's saying. That's not what he's saying. But he said, you do these things here and you'll be despised, all right, by the world. That's not going to take their despising you out of the way. But what it is going to do is prove you before God Almighty. They despising you, just as they did Paul, didn't take that he had to live with that till he died. But what he did have is a grace sufficient to bear him up in those times. Now, I'm going to come on down here in my text. I got 14 minutes to do this. Now listen to it. Hang on with me. He says this. He says, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. This tells us that government is ordered by God Himself. Civil government is an act of God. And we are to obey the laws of the land. The Ten Commandments, they're not just 10 suggestions. They're 10 commandments. They're 10 moral laws that are binding on all men, whether they be regenerate or unregenerate. They're binding on all men. And I affirm to you today that it's wrong for a man to murder a man, whether he's born again or not. It's wrong to steal, whether you're born again or not. It's wrong for you to commit fornication and moral offenses, whether you're born again or not. Those things abound and abide on all men. For that reason, let no man despise thee, because you've kept those commandments as best you can. But you can't live up to them. There's some of them that'll get you. That's the reason Christ had to come. Now listen to what he said in verse 3. Here's what I'm getting to. For we ourselves. Now the word "we" here denotes the speaker, including himself. We ourselves also were sometime foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving different kinds of lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. What a serious situation.
Yes.
Brother Virgil, that was dark.
That is.
Look over here to Romans chapter 3 when Paul describes what you are by nature. Read these 14 indictments against the man in nature, and notice what he says here in chapter 3 and beginning with verse 10. As it is written. Written where? Written in the Old Testament. When you find "as it is written" in the New Testament, he's quoting from an Old Testament scripture. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. We hear that every day, that we ought to seek after God. That's true, but I'm going to tell you there's a class of people in this world that will not and cannot seek after God. They call the wicked.
Right.
They call the wicked. The Bible says this. He says, they're all gone out of the way. They're together become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. Their mouth is full, F-U-double-L, I'm reading it right, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood, destruction, misery in their ways. The way of peace they have not known, and there is no fear of God before their eyes. And when you read all of those things, you're going to find the same dark picture there that you find in Titus chapter 3.
Right.
The same dark picture. That's what you are, void of the grace of God. Paul described it here. And when he described the hatefulness, the disobedience, the foolishness, the living in pleasures. Listen then how it turns. But after the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared.
Mm-hmm.
Not now, listen, let's don't stop there. Not by works of righteousness. You have no righteousness. There are none righteous, no, not one. I just read it to you.
Right.
The only righteousness you've got today is that which is imputed to you by the Holy Spirit. And that righteousness is the same righteousness that is the righteousness of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
But after the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according, in agreement with His mercy, He saved. Saved. Present tense. He saved. A work that is done. A work that is completed. and a work that cannot be made void. He saved us. In the Old Testament, the word of a king was irrevocable.
Yeah.
And I affirm to you today, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who is God manifest in the flesh, hath saved you, washed you, cleansed you, and that work is irrevocable.
Right. Amen, brother.
Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. Now get the rest of it. By the washing.
Yes.
Here's the cleansing now.
That's it.
By the washing. Here's the legal part of it. Now, in purpose, in God's wisdom, oh yeah, it was done. But you know, God never violated his own law. By the cleansing effect, by the washing of what? Regeneration. The reborn, the rebirth. Being born again by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. I want to tell you, he's not talking about this written word, but he's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, the living word that lives and abides forever.
Amen.
Now, getting one more. By the washing of regeneration and what? The renewing. The renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through or by the avenue, Jesus Christ our Lord. That being justified, that is being given a new legal standing. How? By the washing of regeneration. That being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs, get that, according to the hope of eternal life. No man ever became an heir without the influence of somebody else. That's legal. That's a legal term. I deal with it all the time. If you're in a will, if you're an heir in a will, I want to tell you right now that somebody else took an action on your behalf. Somebody else took an action, a legal action, that is binding in any court. Now, some sharp lawyer might take some technical points and tear up a will you and I might make. But I'm going to tell you, here's a judge that has already executed the will. And that executed will stands already probated in the highest court of the land.
That is it. Praise God.
By the washing of regeneration. Got 5 minutes. I want to go to John chapter 3. Here we go. Very familiar scripture. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night. Now I'm going to tell you, this man is in the dark in two ways. He is in the dark because there wasn't any light. It was night. But he's in the dark about who Jesus was too. Don't forget that.
Right.
The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, Rabbi. It's a Jewish term for he who has authority, the priest, the preacher. We know that thou art a teacher come from God. You'll notice here he did acknowledge him as the Son of God. But he said, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. A teacher come from God. That thinking's still around, Brother John. He's a good man, but he's a teacher. Well, I'll tell you, he's more than a teacher, greater than Solomon is here. Listen to what he says. He said, we know that our teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him.
Yep.
And that's the truth. He had part of the truth. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.
Right.
Now this bumfuzzle Nicodemus. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he's old? You see how naturally look at this?
Yeah.
If I got to enter the second time in my mother's womb and be born? Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of the water. Now I want you to go back to my text in Titus chapter 3 and verse 5, by the washing of regeneration, except a man be born to the water. Now, the followers of Mr. Campbell try hard to make this be baptism. You hear? Baptism cleanses you. I'm going to tell you, baptism doesn't cleanse the flesh.
No.
But baptism gives you the answer of a good conscience toward God. It is the practical application of the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ under the influence of your obedience to what the church requires to be a part of this body.
Yeah.
All right. Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say, except a man be born to the water." Doesn't mean natural birth. I heard somebody advance that. Well, if that's the truth, then John didn't get it that way, did he? John didn't get it that way. John was born again before he was born. You can't turn it around, because the pattern is what Paul told Timothy. The way I was born again is the way all men are born again, and that's the pattern. Paul told Timothy that. Use the word pattern. What this says and what this means is, he says, except a man be born of the water, even the Spirit. You see that? Even the Spirit.
Yeah.
He cannot enter the kingdom of God. Let me tell you right now, brother, the kingdom of God, we believe in a physical kingdom here, but I want to tell you, Jesus said the kingdom of God cometh not with observation, but the kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of God is within you. And this morning, if you've been born again through the washing of regeneration, the cleansing that Jesus Christ does for you, he has legally and positionally through that washing and cleansing by the agent of the Holy Spirit given you a kingdom in the heart. And I tell you today that that kingdom, which cannot be moved. That kingdom. You know what Paul told the church? He says this. He said the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. But he said the kingdom of God is happiness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
How plain can that be? Now he says this. That which is born to the flesh is flesh, sure. That which is born to the Spirit is spirit, sure. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. Dr. Graham wrote a book one time, How to Be Born Again. I got it and read it. If y'all want it, I'll give it to you. Amen. What I'm saying to you is that my friend Jesus said you must be born again, but he did not give one instruction how to get born again. Not one. But you must be born again. How does that come? He didn't leave you in the dark about it. He told you in the next verse. He says, the wind bloweth where it listeth. Can't see it, but you can see the effect of it, can't you? Yeah. Thou hearest the sound thereof. You can't tell where it comes from or where it goes. So is every one. The work is done on everyone just alike. So is everyone. Now, sad to say, I'm quitting right now. Somehow the idea that the infant is born one way and the adult is another. Some say, those who hear the gospel, born under the influence of the gospel, the Lord saves the rest of them on ignorance. Brother, I'm going to tell you right now, none of that's truth.
No.
None of that's truth. What is the truth is that every man that is born again, washed, cleansed, and given a hope in the Lord Jesus Christ, that is the pattern that happened to Paul. That's the pattern that still happens today. And thank God today, because of that, we're made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Thank you, and may God bless you, my friend.
Thank you, brother.